And just then appeared a woman with a spirit who had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. I wonder how many times that woman had come to that same place of worship in her life, and when it was that the narrowness, that the vision of those around her became as narrow as her own. For being bent over and unable to look up, except with a slanted sidelong glances, her own vision was indeed narrow. She could not feel the warmth of the sun on her face, but rather saw the shadows it created as it shone on the world around her. She could not look into the faces of others, instead learning to know them by the shape and size of their feet. She knew her way around her world by landmarks that most people never noticed, the nuances of dusty paths, chipped stone foundations, and the detritus of the street. And yet, for all her narrowness of vision, what of those around her? Did they notice this woman at all anymore? Did her hunched over back warrant a second glance or thought? Did anyone remember the color of her eyes or the strength in her straight nose? Jesus noticed. Jesus noticed her passing by the assembled group, and he did something. The woman didn't ask for healing, but it was given to her with words and through touch. And in a split second, her vision, her world, her life was changed. By default, the lives of those around her were changed as well. We see some of that played out in the rest of our passage as Jesus and the leader of the synagogue bandied back and forth. Two faithful men who were struggling with what it meant to be faithful according to their vision of the Sabbath. But what of the woman's family? Of her neighbors? How did her healing affect their vision? Were they all content to simply praise God for her healing and go on with the new normal of life? Or did they feel called to expand their vision to the world around them as well? This gospel story is compelling for so many reasons, not the least of which is that it invites us into the reality that all too often we too are stuck with the narrowness of our vision. Sometimes we have little choice in how our vision is limited. We are like the woman who is bent over. Whether what bends us over is the shortcomings of our bodies or our minds, the weight of financial worries, the tension of family discord, or knowing the pain and oppression of being marginalized by society. Other times, it is our own choices that narrow our vision of the world around us. Like the leader of the synagogue, we may be faithful people, and yet we let the shoulds rule us, distorting how we see ourselves, others, and the world. I should take on that extra project at work, even though it means I'll have less time with my family. I should say yes and go out to coffee with my friend, even though I don't feel like I have enough of myself left to spread around right now. I should pray more, even though I don't seem to know where to begin these days. And before we know it, we are bent over under such a weight. So what is it that bends you over, weighs you down, and narrows your vision? Do you really need to think about it? Or has your mind already touched on what you know hunches you over? How about the person next to you in the pew? Do you know? Or the woman who stands in line in front of you at the grocery store? Can you even guess? How about the man crossing the street in front of you as you wait at the stoplight? Have you ever wondered? It's important to reflect on and identify what bends us over. It is just as important to realize that nearly everyone we pass in a daily life is also bent over because of one thing or another. But we don't just have to live with it. Jesus offered healing to the woman who walked past him, and that same healing is there for us too. God's grace and unconditional love is what heals us. Even when we don't ask for it, it's always there, waiting for us to take, waiting for us to open our hearts. And when we do open our hearts and let God's grace and love touch us, like Jesus touched that woman, we can know healing. When in an instant, or like the slowly dawning revelation that things have shifted, we notice that the shadows give way to direct sunlight, feet give way to faces, our vision is opened up. And when that happens, we too praise God. I believe that the way we experience God's grace and love most clearly is through community. Something of the unboundedness of God's love is known when we truly know other people and they know us. When we journey together in this life through our woes and our joys, when we accept help when needed and we offer it to those in need too. It is through community, through relationships with others, that healing therefore happens. Sometimes we are bent out of shape in small ways, and it may be something as simple as singing a favorite hymn or enjoying light conversation during coffee hour that heals us. Sometimes something terrible suddenly happens, and yet the seed of healing is already planted in us because we know that we only have to call and a member of the clergy will be with us. And we are very blessed in this parish to have Stephen ministers, a powerful force of healing among us, offering us companions to walk with us as we face crisis, transition, or ongoing struggles. Community and relationships. It is likely that we move in and out of several such circles throughout our daily lives, and they are all important. They all create our support structure and are places where we can experience love and healing. And yet, I think that this community in particular is surely our foundation of healing. It is here that we root this healing in faith and knowledge of God. And when we experience God's love, we know that the healing can't just end with us. Like the bent over woman, our joy at being healed leads us to praise God and creates in us a spirit that wants to pass on this good news to others. We heal each other so that we can heal the world and work towards the reign of God. Theologian Hans Küng wrote that the reign of God is God's creation healed. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection began this healing, opening up our vision to what the reign of God might be. And through our own healing, we are also called to enflesh God's healing love in this world. Our call is to use our new vision, broken free from narrowness, to look at the world around us and see where people and systems and creation itself are bent out of shape. The Court of Appeals stay on Judge Vaughn Walker's ruling on Prop 8. The lingering and long-reaching consequences of the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico. The hatred and vitriol that has spewed forth about the plans to build a community center that would contain a mosque near Ground Zero in New York City. The increase in those living in poverty, violence in our neighborhoods, debt, racism, affordable housing, the state budget, the list can go on and on. Once our vision is opened, it's hard not to look away from all that we see. But in spite of that, we're called not just to witness, but to action. Jesus did not merely watch the bent over woman walk past. He reached out to touch her. It is not enough for us to just see where the healing is needed. We are called to strive to heal it in any way we can. Sometimes we can heal pieces of it by ourselves through our own gifts and talents and experiences. But more often than not, it's when we band together as a community that we are most effective in spreading God's healing love. Sending our youth to South Dakota to repair buildings while building new relationships. Feeding the hungry at our open door dinner and serving them with respect. Offering prayers and the laying on of hands in our side chapel, week in and week out. A place that can be counted on whether we visit it regularly or never at all. This week, I invite you to spend some time reflecting on what it is that bends you over and what healing you might need to be free. On how healing might open up your vision of the world around you and how it is that you and we are to be God's hands and heart in this world that needs healing too. In the words of United Church of Christ pastor and scholar Kate Huey, we're not here each Sunday simply because we enjoy one another's company. We're not here because we like to sing or see our friends or just because we feel we should be in church or even because someone is pressuring or influencing us to be here. No, I don't believe that. I believe that we are here this morning because somewhere in the deepest part of our spirit is a hunger for the reign of God. I believe that we long for the healing and the justice and the love and acceptance and the peace that is the reign of God. We are here because we've come to know that we can't fix this world on our own or even provide for ourselves on our own. And that our only real choice is to turn to God and one another for what we need and long for. Amen.